بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Today this is our third session of the preview of Medina Book 2. Preview meaning, yani we're not actually going into the full study of the book, but we are just previewing the core material from the first half of the book, which will include the grammatical points and the vocabulary from the English key. And wherever we have time, inshallah, we'll also try to read the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson so that we can see the grammatical points, yani in context, and see the vocabulary words, how they are used, and perhaps benefit, yani, from just reading in and of itself, reading and translation. So today, inshallah, this is our third session, and today we'll be doing the third lesson. Today we'll be doing lesson number 3, beginning with the English key and vocabulary, and then the Arabic text. Before we go into the lesson for today, since we hope to have a little bit of extra time today, because this lesson is not a very long lesson, so or at least the grammatical points are only 4 points, so it's not that lengthy. I'm sorry, there are 8 points. 4 important points. Okay. So, in any case, today, what we want to do is we want to start with just a quick review of the English key from lesson number 1, and a quick review of the English key from lesson number 2. And the purpose of this quick review, hopefully you have already reviewed it on your own as part of the homework. The purpose is so that these things that we are perhaps studying for the first time, we're going over them in one session, and we're not doing the exercises for the lesson. So just so that we don't forget these points, we want to just try to take some time out. Whenever we have a little extra time, we want to take some time out and just go through quickly through the points that are in each lesson as we go from one lesson to the next. So in lesson number 1, actually there are 6 points that we covered in the first session. I want to just quickly look at those points. The first point is the most important point. It is related to the particle inna, yani harf inna. Harf inna, we said, is harf tawqid wa nasb, meaning that it's used for ta'kid, to emphasize something. And also nasb, it means that it makes yani one of the words that's connected to it mansoob. It places it in the accusative case. Okay, so inna is a particle, and there are other particles that work just like inna, which we said are known as the akhawatu inna, the sisters of inna. How does inna work, and how does its sisters work? Well, inna, the first thing that we need to know about inna is that inna is only used with a nominal sentence, a jumla ismiya, a sentence that begins with a noun. It's only used with a sentence that begins with a noun. It's not used with a jumla fi'liya that begins with a fi'l. Okay, so the jumla ismiya is composed of 2 essential parts, the mubtada and the khabar, the subject and the predicate. In Arabic, the mubtada is always marfu'un in the nominative case, and the khabar is always also marfu'un in the nominative case. However, when we introduce inna to the jumla ismiya, 2 things happen. Number 1, the mubtada now becomes known as ismu inna. Ismu inna. And the khabar becomes known as khabaru inna. That's the first thing. The names of the mubtada now change to ism inna and khabaru inna. The second thing that happens when we introduce inna to a nominal sentence, a jumla ismiya, is that what was the mubtada, which is now known as ismu inna, becomes mansoob. It changes from being marfu'un as a mubtada, it becomes mansoob as the ismu inna. This is very important to remember, because it changes the grammatical yani case of the word. As far as the khabar, it remains marfu'un. Yani the khabaru inna remains marfu'un. Okay. Also, what we want to say about inna is that sometimes the ism inna could be a pronoun. And if that's the case, If a pronoun is the ism inna, for example, you have a jumla ismiya, huwa muhandisun. So when you use inna, you don't say inna huwa, but rather now that pronoun has to be changed to the mansub form, which we saw, I think, in exercise number 3 of this first lesson. So huwa becomes hu, and hiya becomes ha, and antum becomes kum, and so on. So if the mubtada is a pronoun, when you introduce inna, we have to change the pronoun form from the marfu'un form, nominative form, to the mansub form, accusative form. So, al-kitabu sahlun becomes inna al-kitaba, becomes mansub. Inna al-kitaba sahlun, and if it's a pronoun, huwa sahlun, then it becomes, instead of inna huwa, it becomes innahu sahlun. We also mentioned that if the mubtada has a dhamma, when inna is introduced and it becomes ism inna, it changes to fatha. If it's a single, if the subject, yani the mubtada or the ism inna, if it has a double vowel, tanween, double dhamma, it becomes double fatha. If it has a single dhamma, it becomes single fatha. The second point that we said, oh, and by the way, the meaning of inna, we said, is used for emphasis. So its meaning is surely, definitely, certainly, something like this. The second point we had in that lesson was la'alla. It's from akhawatu inna. It works just like inna. It's used with a jumla ismiya. The mubtada becomes ismu la'alla, and it changes from marfu'un to mansub. And the khabar becomes khabaru la'alla, and it remains marfu'un. The meaning of la'alla is it signifies hope or fear. The third point is dhu. Yani the word dhu, it means sahib, the one who possesses something. Means having or possessing something. What we want to know about dhu is that it's always used in idhafa. So the word following it is going to be mudhafun ilay. So the person who possesses wealth, we say dhu malin. Or a wealthy person. The person who possesses good manners, we say dhu khuluqin. Dhu khuluqin, or a person who is well-mannered, and so on. They also gave us in this lesson the plural of dhu is dhawu, the feminine of dhu is that, and its plural is dhawat. And then we had the word am, yani, which means or, O-R. Am is only used in an interrogative sentence where you have a choice between two things. You want to ask somebody, are you a doctor or an engineer? So you say, at-tabibun anta, am muhandis. The rule here is that the two choices, one of them must come immediately after Hamzatul Istifham, or what is known as Hamzatul Ta'ayin, the question, yani the particle that's used to ask the question. A tabibun, and then the rest of whatever comes, the second choice comes after am. A tabibun anta, am muhandisun. Yani if you wanted to use either of those two choices first, it doesn't matter. You can say, a muhandisun anta, am tabibun. But the point is, one choice has to come after the Hamza. Second choice comes after M. Also in this lesson we had Mia and Alf. These are two numbers. What we need to know about them, 100 and 1000, is that the Ma'dud for Mia and Alf is always going to be singular and majroor. It's going to be Mubawfun ilayhi majroor. So you say Mi'atu kitabin. Not kutubin, but Mi'atu kitabin. It has to be singular, mufrad, and majroor, yani, in the genitive case. Same thing with Alf. Alfu kitabin. And also we want to say here that Mi and Alf, they don't change in reference to the Ma'dud, the thing being counted being masculine or feminine. It doesn't matter. Mia remains in its form and Alf remains in its form no matter if the Ma'dud is singular or is masculine or feminine. The last thing we had in this lesson is the word Ghalin, which means expensive. And we see that this word ends with Kasratain. A person might imagine that it's Majroor. This is a special kind of word. It's an Ism Mankus. And the rules concerning it is that if it loses its alif lam, the original word al-ghali loses the ya at the end of it. Al-ghali, it loses that ya, and it loses its vowel, but the noon from the tanween from yani al yani from ghaliyun yani the noon is it's transferred to the kasra from ghali, and it becomes ghalin. Even though it looks like it's majroor, it's actually yani marfu'un. That's what we covered in lesson number 1. And as I said, this is a quick summary. Okay. I hope that you will, yani weekly, try to review one or two or three of the lessons that we've covered previously so that you always, yani keep this information fresh in your mind. So when we get back to the study of the whole book, yani these things, you will be very familiar with them, and hopefully you'll find the study of Medina book 2 yani just as easy as Medina Book 1, yani inshallah, bi'idhni Allah ta'ala. Okay, in Medina Book 2, lesson number 2, we covered four grammatical points. The first two are very important. The first one, the most important. In this lesson, we learned, number one, the verb laysa. The verb laysa. And we said last week that laysa is from the group of verbs that are attached to kana, the verb kana, which we're going to study later on. In any case, it's from the akhawatu kana, so it works like kana. And how they work is how laysa works, and as being one of the sisters of kana, is that it's only used with a nominal sentence, like inna. But inna is a particle and laysa is a verb. Both of them are used with a nominal sentence, mubtada and khabar. And once you introduce laysa, yani the mubtada becomes ismu laysa and the khabar becomes khabaru laysa. The difference here is that with inna, the ism inna is mansoob and the khabar of inna is marfu'un. It's the opposite here. With laysa, the ism of laysa is marfu'un and the khabar of laysa is mansoob. So if you have a sentence like al-baytu jadidun, so if you introduce laysa, you say laysa al-baytu jadidan, yani the khabar of laysa is mansoob, unless, as we see in this lesson, if we introduce the preposition be to the khabar, it will make it majroor. So the khabar of laysa, if you introduce be to the khabar, it will be majroor, otherwise it will be mansoob. Also, we said concerning laysa that the feminine of laysa is laysat. And the full conjugation of this verb, lestu, lesta, lesti, yani, is in exercise number 3 of the lesson, which we went over last week. We won't go over it today. The feminine form of laysa is laysat. It ends with sukoon. So if it's followed by a word, immediately followed by a word with hamzatul wasl, such as the definite article l, yani if it's followed by a word that begins with hamzatul wasl, then you have iltiqa sakinain, two letters with sukoon back to back. We add a kasra to laysat, it becomes laysati. Laysati. We also said that if the mubtada of the original sentence is a pronoun, such as huwa muhandisun, when you use laysa, you don't say laysa huwa, but you conjugate the verb, you say yani for huwa, yani it becomes yani huwa will be laysa. If it was anta, for example, anta muhandisun, you say lasta muhandis, lasta bi muhandisin, lasta yani ana muhandisin, lastu bi muhandisin, and so on. Okay, so the ism of laysa, if it's a pronoun, the ism of laysa is connected to the verb itself, as lastu, lasta, lasti, lasna, and so on. We also said that if the khabar of laysa is a prepositional phrase, yani a preposition like min al hind, then we can't add ba here. We don't say lastu bi min al hind, but rather you just say lastu min al hind. The last point we want to say about laysa is that sometimes the jumla ismiya, if the mubtada is indefinite and the khabar is a shibah jumla, yani a prepositional clause, if the mubtada is indefinite, yani it has tanween, for example, and the khabar is a prepositional phrase, in that case the order is reversed. The mubtada is going to come second. It's going to be delayed as mubtada muakhar, the mubtada that is delayed. And the khabar is going to be advanced to come first as khabar muqaddam. So the example that they gave us in the book is li ikhwatun, I have brothers. So li is actually the khabar. But because ikhwatun, the mubtada, is indefinite, the order is reversed. In this case, you have to pay attention that the mubtada is not, if you use laysa, you have to remember that the mubtada is not li, even though it came first, because here li, the khabar, has been advanced, and ikhwa, the mubtada, has been delayed. So even though it's delayed, it's still the mubtada, it's still the ism laysa, and therefore the ism laysa is marfu'un, yani the khabar will be mansub. But here the khabar is a shibah jumla, so we say it's in the place where it should be mansub, fi mahalli nasb. And we also said the same thing with inna. If it's used with a sentence where the mubtada and khabar have reversed their order, the example they gave is the same example, li ikhwatun, I have brothers, if you wanted to say, indeed I have brothers, keep in mind, yani, inna li ikhwatan. Remember that li is the khabar of inna, and ikhwa is the ism inna is mansub. Okay, so that's basically what we covered last week in brief, and a quick review, just so that we can remember some of these things that we went over last week. Today, inshallah, we're going to cover a couple of new points. Actually, the grammatical points in this lesson are eight now, but there are four important points. The first four are the most important, and generally speaking, as far as I can recollect, the first point is always the most important point. All right, so the second point is also of significance, and the third point and the fourth point is very important. Maybe the first and fourth point are the most important, and then yani, those that follow are secondary. So what we want to do today, we want to just look at the English key, go over the vocabulary, make sure we know these words, we're studying them, trying to memorize as many as possible. So when we go to the full study of this book, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, when we go to the full study of this book, inshallah, we won't find the great difficulty that many people find when they go directly from book 1 to book 2, from level 1 to level 2. So the main point of this lesson is the comparative and the superlative form or degree of the adjective. So what we're talking about here, we're talking about adjectives like kabir and saghir and khafif and thaqil and ba'id and qareeb. And these are adjectives that we learned in book 1. Here we want to look at what is the form, what is the pattern, yani the wazn for the adjective when we are using it for comparison. Yani to compare one thing to another. So if we are using an adjective to compare something to another, and we're saying this is bigger than that, or this one is smaller than that one, or he is taller than her, or she is shorter than him. When we want to use yani, this adjective, when we're going to use an adjective, big or small or tall or short, as a comparison, to compare two things, then we use what is called af'alu at-tafdil. Af'alu, that's the pattern. Af'alu at-tafdil. This pattern of af'alu, you're going to take the root letters of the original adjective, like kabir, the root letters are kaf, ba, and ra, or saghir, the root letters are sad, ghain, and ra, or, for example, qadim, the root letters will be qaf, dal, and meem. You're going to take the root letters and apply this pattern to them. So, for example, kabir, kaf, ba, ra, so the first root letter is going to take yani is represented by fa, and the second root letter is represented by ayn, and the third root letter is represented by lam. So you're going to put the kaf, you're going to put sukun on it. The ba, you're going to put fatah on it. And then the ra is going to take yani its vowel, normal vowel, dhamma here in this case. To the beginning of it, you're going to add an extra letter. That's hamza with fatah. So ka ba ra, kaf ba ra is going to become ak ba ru. Saghir, Saad, Ghain, Ra is going to become As-Gharu, and so on like this. Alright, so this is a pattern for an adjective when we're making comparison. This pattern is also used for the superlative degree, when we're saying this is the biggest, or the smallest, or the oldest. Okay, so the comparative degree means this is bigger than that. The superlative degree means this is the biggest of them all. Alright? And the comparative degree we're using, like ER, bigger, smaller, older. And the superlative degree we're using EST, biggest, tallest, shortest, oldest, like this. Alright? So, that's the introduction to this first point of this lesson, that is af'alu at-tafdil. The pattern af'alu is a pattern for an adjective when we want to show comparison. Something is bigger than something else, or we want to use the superlative form when we want to show something is the biggest or the oldest, and so on. This pattern, the same pattern, is used for the comparative form as well as the superlative form. So let's look at 5 points related to this. The first point are dealing with the comparative form, and then the last point is when we use the same pattern for the superlative form. So we're on page 8, lesson number 3, English Key. In this lesson, we learn the following. Number 1, comparative and superlative degrees of the adjective. So the first point we want to make here is that adjectives in the comparative degree, we're going to deal with first 4 points. Adjectives in the comparative degree are on the pattern of, and you have the wazn of, af'alu. Yani fa'ala, representing the three radicals, the root letters of the noun. Af'alu. Like ajmalu, from jameel. Jim, mim, lam. Ajmalu. You're going to put hamza in the beginning of the first root letter with fatha. The first root letter is going to have sukun. Second one is going to have fatha. From jim, mim, lam. Ajmalu means, yani, more beautiful. This one is more beautiful than that one. Another example, ahsanu, from hasana, ha, sin, noon. You're going to put hamza with fatha in the beginning. First radical, ha, is going to take sukun. Second radical takes fatha. Third radical takes dhamma. Unless, yani, it's in a sentence, then the case ending may change, right? Ahsanu, from hasan, which means good. You have ahsanu, which this one is more good, or we say better than that one. The third example they gave us is asgharu, from saghir, sad, ghain, ra. On the pattern of afalu, it became asgharu. From saghir, which means small, asgharu means smaller. The last example they gave us is aqdamu, from qadim, qaf, dal, mim. On the pattern of afalu, it became aqdamu. Yani, qadim means old, aqdamu means older. So these are examples of the use of the pattern, af'alu, yani the pattern for adjectives in the comparative or superlative degree. The first point is that adjectives in the comparative degree are on the pattern of af'alu. And the same pattern is used for the superlative degree too. We'll come to that as the fifth point. So af'alu, like ajmalu from jameel, ahsanu from hasan, asgharu from saghir, aqdamu from qadim. As we have already learned, words on this pattern, yani the pattern of afalu, are diptotes, mamnu min as-sarf. We studied this in detail in lesson 22 and 23 of book 1. Words on the pattern of afalu are diptotes. They are mamnu min as-sarf, and so, as a result of that, they have no tanween. So this pattern, for the comparative and superlative degrees of the adjective, we're going to always see it with a single vowel, af'alu, akbaru, asgaru, ajmalu. We're never going to see it with tanween, because this pattern is a pattern from the categories of words that are mamnu min as-sarf, diptotes, and from the special characteristics of words that are mamnu min as-sarf is that they don't take tanween. Okay? Second point we want to say, af'alu, this pattern, af'alu, when it's being used for the comparative degree of the adjective, this pattern, af'alu, is going to be followed by min, mim, kasra, noon, sukun, which means then. Yani, akbaru, min, bigger than. Asgaru, min, as smaller than. Ajmalu, min, more beautiful than, and so on. Okay, it's going to be followed by min when we're using it for the comparative degree of the adjective. We're going to see that. For the superlative degree, we're not going to use min. So min is going to be specific to when we use this pattern, this wazn, af'alu, for the comparative degree of an adjective. We're going to use min. For example, hamidun atwalu min bilalin. Hamidun atwalu, yani from tawil, ta, waw, lam. Those are the three root letters. So again, we said what? The pattern is you put hamza with fatha in the beginning. The first radical, the ta, in this case, takes sukun. The second radical, waw, takes fatha. Atwalu. And the third radical, of course, because it's mamnu min as-sarf, it's not going to take tanween. It's just going to take a dhamma or whatever vowel is required once you put it into a sentence. Taib, so the example they gave us, Hamid is taller than. Yani, atwalu min bilalin. The third point we want to say, And the first point is what? That adjectives in the comparative degree on the pattern of af'alu. The second point, that when it's being used for the comparative degree, af'alu is going to be followed by min. And now the third point is that af'alu, this pattern of af'alu, is the same for masculine, feminine, singular, and plural. It's going to be used the same exact format, not like when we have normal adjectives, we have kabir. For feminine, when kabir is used as an adjective for something that's feminine, then we say, yani kabir, we say kabira. Saghir, saghira. So it has a masculine form and a feminine form. But the superlative and the comparative form of the adjective, it's the same form. Af'alu is used for masculine, feminine, singular, and plural. So they gave us four examples here. It's being used as an adjective for a male and singular. Bilalun atwalu min aminata. Bilal is taller than Amina. So here, the pattern, af'alu, is being applied to the adjective tawil, tall. On the pattern of af'alu, atwalu means taller. With min, it's for comparison, taller than, in this case, Amina. The same pattern is going to be used for a feminine noun that's being described with as being taller. Aminatu atwalu min Bilalin. Amina is taller than Bilal. Now remember, if we were describing Amina not in the comparative or superlative form, we would say Aminatu saghiratun, or Aminatu kabiratun, or Aminatu tawilatun. For Bilal, we would say Bilalun saghirun, kabirun, tawilun. But for Amina, we would change it to the feminine form. For the comparative and superlative forms of the adjective, there's no change. The same form is used for masculine, Bilalun atwalu, feminine, Aminatu atwalu. And likewise for plurals, the same form is also used for masculine plurals and feminine plurals. So the same form is going to be used for a masculine singular word and a masculine plural word, a feminine singular word and a feminine plural word. All of them are going to use the same pattern, atwalu. Bilalun atwalu, Aminatu atwalu. Al-abana'u atwalu min al-banati. The sons are taller than the daughters. Al-banatu atwalu min al-abana'i. The daughters are taller than the sons. So in every case, masculine singular, Bilal, Bilalun atwalu. Feminine singular, Aminatu atwalu. Masculine plural, al-abana'u atwalu. Al-banatu atwalu. So this is the third point, that this pattern of af'alu is going to be used as an adjective in the comparative or superlative degrees to describe something that is singular and masculine, singular and feminine, plural masculine and plural feminine. The same one pattern is used for all of them. The fourth point is, note the following examples wherein min is followed by a pronoun. So in the examples we saw so far, Bilalun atwalu min Amina. Amina atwalu min Bilal. Al-abna'u atwalu min al-banat. And al-banatu atwalu min al-abna. In each case, the word that's following min is a clear noun. Amina, Bilal, al-banat, al-abna. But in some cases, min is going to be followed by a pronoun, a dhamir. In that case, the pronoun is going to be attached directly to min. It's an attached pronoun. It's going to be attached directly to min. For example, they gave us three examples here. Anta ahsanu minni. Minni. Anta ahsanu minni. You are better than me, or better than I. Okay, that's the first example. They have a footnote for it. Let's look at the footnote number two. Note that in minni, the noon has shadda. The noon has shadda. That's because min, yani, is mim kasra noon with sukoon, and then ni, yani, is noon al-wiqaya followed by ya al-mutakallam. Yani, ya al-mutakallam represents the first person singular, ana. But it's separated from min by a noon. That noon is called noon al-wiqaya. I think we have mentioned this previously. In case you didn't remember, just remember this nun is the nun that protects the pronoun ya al-mutakallam from being connected directly to the word that yani it's being joined to, so that it's separated from it. So nun al-wiqaya comes in between min and ya al-mutakallam. Okay, because this ya al-mutakallam always has to be preceded by kasra, so this protects the word before it from having to change whatever its vowel would normally be. So anta ahsanu minni. Here what we want to note is that there's a shadda on the noon. Min ni. That's because there are two noons here. Min, the noon from min, noon with sukoon, and then the noon al-wiqaya that's separating ya al-mutakallam from the preposition min. So in the note it says, note that in minni the noon has shadda. There's no shadda with other pronouns like min hu, min ka, min ha, min hum, except minna. This one has shadda. That's because it's made up of min plus the pronoun na. Min, noon with sukoon, and then another noon for the pronoun na, which represents the first person plural nahnu. Alright, so you have min, ends with noon, and then the pronoun na begins with noon. Therefore, you have two noons coming together. So, the shadda. So, minni, then me, and minna, then us, yani bigger or smaller than us, and so on like this. Okay, so, this is the first example. Anta ahsanu minni. You are better than I. The second example. Ana aqsaru minka. Ana aqsaru minka. Meaning, I am shorter than you. Aqsaru, the original word is qasir. Qaf, sad, ya, ra. Qasir. The root letters are qaf, sad, and ra. So if we apply to the word qasir, the pattern af'alu, it became aqsaru. Aqsaru. Ana aqsaru, yani I am shorter. Min ka, than you. Ka represents what? Yani the connected form of the pronoun that represents anta. Anta. Ana aqsaru min ka. I'm shorter than you. The third example they gave us has 2 points that we have to note here. Hum akbaru minna sinnan. Hum akbaru minna sinnan. They are older than we. They are older than we, or older than us. Okay, here, there's a footnote again, 3. It says, sin, yani sin kasra noon with shadda. Sinun means age. Yani somebody's age, right? So, akbaru sinnan means bigger in terms of age. Literally means bigger in age. Akbaru sinnan. But the sentence we have here is, hum akbaru minna sinnan. Yani they are akbaru, bigger, minna, than us, sinnan, in age. They are bigger than us in age, or they are older than us. They are older. Yani bigger in terms of age. So here we want to note that literally, yani akbaru minna sinnan means bigger than us in age. Bigger than us in age. So those are 4 points that we want to mention concerning the af'alu tafdil, the pattern of the adjective for the comparative degree. 4 points in reference to the comparative degree. Yani, the first thing we said is the adjectives in the comparative degree on this pattern, af'alu. The second thing we said is that af'alu, when we're using it for comparison, is followed by min. Yani, akbaru min, bigger than. Atwalu min, taller than, and so on. The third point is af'alu is the same whether the thing being described by this adjective, whether it is masculine or feminine, singular or plural. The same pattern is going to be applicable to all of them. And the last point is that the min that we use with the pattern af'alu, the min, when we're using the comparative form, may be followed by a clear noun, as in the previous examples, or it may be followed by a pronoun, which will be attached to it. Yani ahsanu minni, aqsaru minka, أكبر منا. All right, the fifth point in reference to this first matter, يعني أفعل التفضيل, is that this pattern أفعل is also used for the superlative degree, يعني of the adjective. It's also used for the superlative degree. In this case, when it's used for the superlative degree, it is followed by a noun in the genitive case. يعني instead of it being followed by من, as we said in the comparative degree, when we're using it for the superlative degree, it's not followed by min. Rather, it's followed by a clear noun directly. That clear noun is going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur. So, example they gave us, Ibrahimu ahsanu talibin fil madrasati. Ibrahim is the best student in the school. Okay, the expression here that we want to look at is ahsanu talibin. Here's the pattern, af'alu, from the word hasan. Yani, hasan, ha, seen, noon, on the pattern of af'alu becomes ahsanu. But there's no min here. So we're not saying better than, but rather we're using the superlative form, so there's no min, rather it's immediately followed by a noun, which is going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur. So we say ahsanu talibin, that means he is the best student. Not he is better than somebody, rather he is the best. Yani, not that he is taller than somebody, but he is the tallest. Not that he is, yani, older than somebody, but rather he is the tallest. Okay, this is the superlative form. Instead of min, we have it followed immediately by a noun, a clear noun that is going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur. Another example they gave us, al-azharu aqdamu jami'atin fil-alam, with fatah, alam. Not alim. Alim is a scholar. Alam means the world. So, al-azharu aqdamu jami'atin fil-alami. Al-azhar is the oldest university in the world. Here, the expression that we want to look at is aqdamu jami'atin. Aqdamu from qadim, on the pattern of af'alu. Aqdamu. This could mean, if there were men following, أَقْدَمُ مِنْ, yani older than, but there's no men. It's immediately followed by a noun, which is مُضَافِ إِلَيْهِ مَجْرُوَ. Therefore, that makes us to know that this is not a comparative form of the adjective. This is the superlative form. So it means أَقْدَمُ جَامِيَةٍ, the oldest, not older than, but the oldest university in the world. If you turn the page, they give us one more example. فَاطِمَةُ أكبر طالبة في فصلنا. Fatima is the eldest student in our class. Here, يعني أكبر is being used to mean the biggest, specifically in reference to age. Here, although it can mean bigger in physical stature, but here, يعني it's being used here for age. فاطمة أكبر طالبة. She is the biggest student or the eldest student في فصلنا, in our classroom. The last thing we want to say concerning this is what I already mentioned previously. They're just closing with this point. The Arabic name for both the comparative and superlative degrees is أفعلو التفضيل. أفعلو, the pattern of أفعلو التفضيل. This expression in Arabic is used for both the comparative degree of the adjective as well as the superlative degree of the adjective. Okay, so what we're talking about here, this whole subject is about adjectives. When we're making comparison between two things, bigger or smaller, or when we are showing the superlative degree of the adjective, the biggest or the smallest, in both cases we use the same pattern, أفعلوا. And therefore, both of them are known as أفعلوا التفضيل. It's the same pattern. The difference in the comparative form, it's going to be followed by من, يعني أكبر من, bigger than. In the superlative form, it's followed by a noun, أكبر طالب, the biggest or the eldest student. All right, so I hope that this is clear. I hope that you're ready for homework. Perhaps when you're ready for homework, it was crystal clear already. So this would just be a review for you. If it wasn't, I hope we have clarified whatever was not clear. Okay, the second point of this lesson is important, but we've already covered it in lesson one. We were introduced to this idea of inna, the particle inna, wa akhawatuha. So here we have as point number two, walakinna, with shadda on the noon. Walakinna. This word, lakinna, is a particle from the sisters of inna. It's from the akhawatu inna. It means but. It is one of the sisters of inna. And so acts like inna. And so it acts like inna. What do we mean, acts like inna? Before we go to the examples, what do we mean? It's from the sisters of inna, therefore it acts like inna. What we mean by that is that inna is only used with a jumla ismiya, a nominal sentence, a mubtada and a khabar. So, lakinna, likewise, it's only used with a jumla ismiya, a nominal sentence, mubtada and khabar. Also, just like inna, the mubtada and khabar, after the introduction of inna, the mubtada and khabar change their names to ism inna and khabaru inna. So here with lakinna, the same thing happens. When lakinna is introduced to a jumla ismiya, the mubtada and khabar become ismu lakinna and khabaru lakinna. And so the same rule, when inna is used with a jumla ismiya, it makes the mubtada change its name to ism inna, and it changes its case from being marfu'un to being mansub. From marfu'un to being mansub in the accusative case. So the same thing with lakinna, when you introduce it to a jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar, the mubtada and khabar now became ismu lakinna and khabaru lakinna, and the ismu lakinna, like the ism inna, is mansub. Okay, let's look at some examples. The first example they gave us, Bilalun mujtahidun. Bilal is a mujtahid, hardworking, diligent one. Walakinna hamidan. But hamid is kaslanu, lazy. Okay, we see that after lakinna, hamidan is mansub. The original sentence after before lakinna was introduced would have been hamidun with tanween dhamma. Hamidun kaslanu. Hamid is kaslan. But after we use inna on these two words, the ism of inna, hamidun, became hamidan, because the ism of lakinna, like the ism inna, is mansub. So bilalun mujtahidun. Lakinna, walakinna hamidan kaslanu. Here we want to note kaslan, yani on the pattern of fa'lan, is mamnu min al-sarf, so it doesn't take tanween. Bilal is hardworking, but Hamid is lazy. The meaning of lakinna is but. Okay? And with this shadda on it, it becomes one of the akhawat of inna, and therefore it's used with the jumla ismiya. It makes the mubtada become ismu lakinna, and it makes it mansub. The khabar of lakinna remains marfu'un. Another example. أخي متزوج ولكني عزب. My brother is married, متزوج, ولكني, but I am عزب, a bachelor, يعني not married, unmarried. So the point here is that the original sentence without لكني would have been أخي متزوج وَأَنَا عَزَبٌ أَنَا. But أَنَا, when you use لَكِنَّ, we have to change أَنَا from the مَرْفُوعٌ pronoun to a mansub pronoun. So it became يَا الْمُتَكَلَّمْ, and it's going to be separated, right, from the word that is connected to by نون الوقاية. So لَكِن plus أَنَا becomes لَكِنِّي, يعني يَا الْمُتَكَلَّمْ preceded by نون الوقاية. So here we would say that ya al-mutakallam, as the ism of lakinna, because it is a pronoun and it's mabniun, we don't say it's mansub, we say it's in the place where it should be, mansub, fi mahalli nasb. And azabun, as the khabar of lakinna, is marfu'un with dhamma. Third example, sayyarati qadimatun, walakinnaha qawiyatun. My car is old, but it is strong. Without lakinna, the sentence would have been, pay attention here, the sentence would have been, سيارتي قديمة وهي قوية. وهي, يعني the pronoun in لكنها would have originally been هي. My car is old and it is strong. وهي قوية. هي قوية. But once you introduce لكن, then the اسم of لكن is going to be in the place of being mansub. So you have to use a mansub pronoun. So هي becomes ها, هو becomes هو, أنا becomes يا, المتكلم, and so on like this. So سيارتي قديمة, my car is old. ولكنها, but it is, لكنها, but it is, she is, the car is, قوية, strong. So again here, the ism لكن is the pronoun ها, and pronouns are مبنيون. So we say it's in the place where it should be mansub, because ism لكن is mansub, but this is a pronoun, so we say it's في محل نصب, in the place where it should be mansub. The خبر of لكن is مرفون, قوية. Okay, so that's لكن. And after that, after that, we have the point number three. Which is another of the أخواتُ إنّ, كأنّ. It's also from أخواتُ إنّ, كأنّ. It's one of the sisters of إنّ, and so the noun following it, يعني the اسم of كأنّ, is منسوب. The meaning of كأنّ is it looks as if, it appears to be. يعني there's some resemblance. That's one of the meanings, تشبيح, التشبيح. The other meaning is أظن, يعني I think, I'm not sure. يعني it appears to me to be like this, I think it is, but I'm not sure. So actually, كأن has two meanings, التشبيح, يعني something resembles, or أظن, يعني I think it is like this, but I'm not really sure. Both of those meanings are close, but in any case, sometimes you might translate it as it appears to be, or it looks as if, or you resemble. And another place you may translate it as meaning, I think, yani I'm not sure about it. كأنّ, كأنّ. So again, كأنّ is one of the sisters of إنّ, yani it's only used with a جملة إسمية, the مبتدأ and خبر, their names change after the introduction of كأنّ to اسم كأنّ and خبر كأنّ. اسم كأنّ is منسوب, خبر كأنّ is مرفوع. The meaning of كأنّ, it looks as if. For example, كأنّ الإمام مريض. كأن, it looks as if the Imam is sick. يعني it appears as though the Imam is sick. I think the Imam is sick from the way he looks. It looks as if the Imam is sick. So الإمام مريض is the جملة اسمية, original sentence. The Imam is sick. But I'm not really sure. So now I'm saying كأن الإمام مريض. It looks as if the Imam is sick. Here, الإمام, the مبتدا, became اسم كأن, and اسم كأن, like اسم إن, is منسوب. كأن الإمام مريض, خبر كأن, is مرفوع with دم. Second example. من هذه الفتاة? Who is this young girl? كأنها أختك. كأنها أختك. It is as though she is your sister. It looks as if she is your sister. Here, the meaning is تشبيه, يعني resemblance. It looks as if, يعني she resembles to such an extent that I think she is your sister. Okay, من هذه الفتاة? Who is this young girl? كأنها أختك. So here, أختك, يعني the here pronoun becomes after كأن, يعني ها, here becomes ها, كأنها أختك. Here the ها is the ism of كأن, because it's مبنيون, we don't say it's منسوب, we say it's in the place where it should be منسوب, يعني في محل نصب, في محل نصب. And أخت is the خبر of كأن, it's مرفوع with ضم, أخت. And كاف here is mudaf to ukht, mudaf ilayhi, yani as a pronoun it's mabniun, so we say it fi mahalli jar, mudafun ilayhi fi mahalli jar, yani in the place where it should be majrur. The third example they gave us, ka'anna hadhihi as-sayyarata lahu, ka'anna hadhihi as-sayyarata lahu, it looks as if this car belongs to him. It looks as if, or yani I think, I'm not sure, but I think ka'anna hadhihi as-sayyara lahu, I think this car yani belongs to him. I'm not sure because I don't really know, but maybe I saw him doing something that suggests that it's his car. And perhaps I saw him once getting out of it or getting into it. That's why I think it's his car. Or other than that. The point here is that without ka'anna, the sentence would be hadhihi as-sayyaratu, hadhihi as-sayyaratu lahu, this car belongs to him. But if I'm not sure, then I say ka'anna hadhihi as-sayyarata lahu. As-sayyaratu became as-sayyarata. Why? Because as-sayyara here is the bedal for hadhihi. Remember the bedal? Ism ishara followed by now alif lam. As-sayyara here is a bedal for hadhihi. And hadhihi is the ism ka'anna. And the ism ka'anna is going to be mansub. Or in this case, because it's a ism ishara, it's mabniyun in the place where it should be mansub. So its bedal has to be mansub. I hope you understand what I said. Ka'anna hadhihi. Hadhihi is the ism ka'anna. The ism ka'anna is mansub. But hadhihi is mabniyun. It's an ism ishara. It's mabniyun. So we don't say it's mansub. We say it's mabniyun fi mahalli nasb. In the place where it should be mansub. Its bedal as sayara then has to be mansub. Ka'anna hadhihi as sayara ta lahu. It looks as if this car belongs to him. The last example, ka'annaka min al-hind. It seems, you seem to be from India. Here, I want to start with the original sentence. Without ka'anna, it would have been anta min al-hind, yani the kaf. If it's not connected to ka'anna, yani it would be in its marfu'un form. It would be anta min al-hind. You are from al-hind. But instead of saying you are from al-hind, I'm not really sure. But you look like an Indian. So I'm saying, ka'annaka. It is as though, it seems, you seem to be min al-hind. You seem to be. Yani maybe due to your appearance. Due to your appearance. So I'm not sure, but due to your resemblance, it looks as though you are, it looks as if you are from India. You seem to be from India. I'm not really certain. So both of these meanings are there, tashbih and adhan. I think, but I'm not sure. Okay, so anta min al-hind, you are from India. If I'm not sure, I say ka'annaka. It is as though you seem to be ka'annaka min al-hind. So anta min al-hind, the anta pronoun becomes mansub form ka'annaka min al-hind. Okay, this is the third point. The second and third point, lakinna and ka'anna are from akhawatu inna. They use with jumla ismiya, and they work the same way as inna. Yani they make the mubtada become ismu, inna or ka'anna or lakinna, and it's mansub, and the khabar remains marfu'un. The fourth point is the numbers from 11 to 20 with a masculine ma'adud. The numbers from 11 to 20 with a masculine ma'adud. These numbers are compound numbers, meaning they are made up of two parts, two numbers that are brought together as a compound number. And they consist of two parts. What we want to know about the rules concerning this is first and foremost that the ma'adud, the thing being counted with these compound numbers, the thing being counted, and by the way, the compound numbers are 11 to 19, not 20. 20 is not a compound number. It's from the uqud, yani the tens, 20, 30, 40, 50. We're going to talk about those at another time. But what's important here is the numbers from 11 to 20 with the masculine ma'adud. These numbers are compound numbers. 11 through 19 are compound numbers. 20 is from the uqud, the tens. The ma'adud for all of them, the compound numbers and the uqud, 20 to 90, the ma'adud is singular mansub. The ma'adud is singular mansub. So even though you're going to say 11 stars, you're going to use the singular for stars. Kawkab, not kawakib. So you say, ahada ashara kawkaban. Ahada ashara kawkaban. 11 stars. Tis'ata ashara kitaban. 19 books. Keep in mind, the ma'dud, even though you're saying 19 books, 11 stars, it's going to be in Arabic singular. Yani mufrad mansub. So, now we want to go into the details of the rules related to the numbers from 11 through 20. 20 is going to be dealt with as the fourth point, and the first three points are going to be dealing with 11 through 19. So we will deal with these numbers under four heads. The first three are about the numbers from 11 through 19, and the last one, the fourth heading, is going to be for the number 20. So A, the first point, the numbers 11 and 12, okay, they have their own rules. 13 to 19 have their own rules. 20 has its own rule. Alright? So 11 and 12. Here, both parts agree with the ma'dud. So what is the point here? Is that both parts of the number are going to be in agreement with the ma'dud in gender. Yani if the ma'dud, taliban, is masculine, both parts of the number have to be masculine. So you say, ahada, that's masculine. Ashara, that's masculine. Taliban, 11 male students. If the ma'dud is feminine, like talibatan, then you'll say both parts of the numbers have to be feminine in agreement with the ma'dud. Ihda is feminine, ashrata is feminine. Ihda ashrata talibatan, 11 female students. What's the point here is? The point is that it's a compound number, it's composed of two parts, and for the numbers 11 and 12 only, for the numbers 11 and 12, both parts of the number have to agree with the ma'dud, the thing being counted, in gender, in being masculine or feminine. That's for 11 and that's for 12. The examples they gave for 12, ithna ashara taliban, 12 male students. Taliban is masculine, so ithna is masculine, ashara is masculine. Both parts of the number agree with the ma'dud. Feminine ma'dud, talibatan, ithnata ashrata talibatan. Ithnata is feminine, ashrata is feminine, because talibatan is feminine. Okay, so now I just want to compare between the masculine numbers and feminine numbers. Yani with the masculine ma'dud, taliban, we have ahada ashara. Ahada ashara. Feminine of ahada is ihda. Feminine of ashara is ashrata, with ta marbuta. For the number 12, 12 male students, ithna ashara taliban. Ithna is masculine, ashara is masculine. For feminine, 12 female students, ithnata ashrata talibatan. So, ithna is masculine, ithnata is feminine. Ashara is masculine, ashrata is feminine. Alright? So, both parts of the number for 11 and 12, both parts of the number is going to be in agreement with the ma'dud in gender. If the ma'dud is taliban, masculine, both parts of the number have to be masculine. If the ma'dud is talibatan feminine, both parts of the number have to be feminine. That's the first point. That for 11 and 12, both parts of the number are going to be in agreement with the ma'dud in gender. The second point, B, numbers from 13 to 19. What are their rules? Here, the second part agrees with the ma'dud while the first part does not, in gender. So here, the first part of the compound number does not agree in gender with the ma'dud. It's going to be opposite. Whereas the second part that's closest to the ma'dud is going to be in agreement with it. Okay, so the two parts from 13 to 19, there's two parts, compound number, right? The part of the number that's closest to the ma'dud is going to be in agreement with it. The part of the number that's furthest away is going to be in disagreement with it. Okay, it's going to be opposite in gender. So you're going to keep the part that's close, that's the same gender, you're going to keep them close together. And you're going to keep the number that's opposite in gender far apart. Okay? So we're looking at what? The agreement or lack of it in terms of gender. Two parts of the number, compound number. The second part of the number, which is closest to the ma'dud, is going to agree with it in gender. Masculine with masculine, feminine with feminine. The other part of the number, the first part which is furthest away, is going to be opposite in gender. Feminine with masculine, masculine with feminine. Okay, so they gave us two examples here. I'll go from the right side of the page first. ثلاثة ashrata talibatan. Talibatan is feminine. Therefore, the first part of the number thalatha is opposite. It's masculine. Thalatha. And the second part of the number closest to talibatan is going to be in agreement with it in gender. Feminine with feminine. Ashrata talibatan. Thalatha ashrata talibatan. Now we're going across. Thalathata with ta marbuta. Feminine number. Ashara, masculine number. Taliban, masculine ma'dud. Again, the first part of the number furthest away is going to be opposite in gender. The second part of the number, ashara, that's closest to the ma'dud, is going to be the same gender, in agreement in gender. Masculine with masculine, feminine with feminine. So this is the rule for 13 to 19. Remember, we said the rule for 11 and 12 is that both parts of the number are going to be in agreement with in gender with the ma'dud. For 13 to 19, the first part furthest away is going to be opposite in gender. And the second part of the number, which is closest to it, is going to be of the same gender. Masculine with masculine, feminine with feminine. So the note after these two examples says, as you can see, in thalathata, with ta marbuta, feminine number, ashara, masculine number, taliban, the ma'dud taliban is masculine. So the second part of the number, the one that's closest to it, ashara, is masculine. While the first part, thalathata with ta marbuta, yani the one that's further away, is opposite in gender, is feminine, as indicated by the ta marbuta ending. In the other example, in thalatha, masculine number, ashrata, feminine number, talibatan, feminine ma'dud, the ma'dud talibatan is feminine. So the second part, the one that's closest, second part of the number to the ma'dud, the second part of the number, which is closest to the ma'dud, ashrata, is also feminine, like the ma'dud. While the first part, thalatha, is masculine. The fact that it's masculine is indicated by the absence of ta marbuta. In this lesson, we learned these numbers only with the masculine ma'dud. We will learn them again with the feminine ma'dud in lesson 6. So after, yani 3 lessons from now, in lesson 6, we're going to see these same numbers, 11 and 12, being the same gender as the ma'dud, 13 to 19, being opposite in gender, yani the first part being opposite, second part being in agreement with the ma'dud. Yani in this lesson, we see with masculine ma'dud. In lesson 6, we're going to see the feminine ma'dud and how it works with 11 and 12, being in agreement, both parts of the number, and how it works with 13 to 19, first part being masculine, opposite the feminine gender, second part being of the same gender. So these are 2 points. The first point, 11 and 12, both parts of the number are the same in gender as the ma'dud. The second point is 13 to 19. The first part is opposite in gender. Second part is, yani, in agreement, in gender, same gender. The third point is, these numbers are mabniyun, indeclinable. They are mabniyun. There's a footnote, we're going to come back to it. In other words, mabniyun, we mean what? They do not change. They do not change what? Their endings. They do not change their endings to indicate their function in the sentence. Meaning, if they are in the position where they should be marfu'un, we don't see a dhamma. If they are in the position where they should be majrurun, we don't see a kasra. It just is mabniyun. It remains, the ending is going to be a fatha. It remains fatha all the time. Doesn't matter if it's the mubtada or the khabar or the fa'il or the object of a preposition, it's always going to be fatha. That's what we mean by mabniyun. It's fixed. Its vowel ending is fixed. It doesn't change to indicate its function in the sentence. This will become clear by comparing the numbers 3 to 10 with these numbers. Again, I'm going to come back to this footnote. We'll come back to this footnote about these numbers being mabniyun. Okay, in the footnote, we're going to know that the number 12 is not mabniyun. It's mu'rab. Okay, so we're going to come back to that just as a note. But what we want to say here is, just to show you, to compare the numbers from 3 to 10 with the numbers from 13 to 19, we'll see that the numbers from 3 to 10 are mu'rab. They are not mabniyun. Their ending change. But the numbers from 13 to 19, they are mabniyun. Their endings don't change. They remain fixed on fatha. Let's look at the example they gave us. Yani with the number 3. And this is the rule for the numbers from 3 through 10. I have 3 riyals. Indi thalathatu with dhamma. Riyalatin. Here, the number thalatha is the mubtada, so it's marfu'un with dhamma. Yani indi is the shibh jumla, khabar, muqaddam. It's advanced because thalathatu riyalatin is indefinite. The second example, I want 3 riyals. Uridu thalathata riyalatin. Here, thalathata is the maf'ulun bi, the object of the verb, so it's mansub with fatha. The third example, هذا القلم بي ثلاثة تي ريالاتين. This pen costs 3 riyals. Here, the word ثلاثة is the object of the preposition, it's مجرور with كسرة. So we see the number 3, and the same thing with 9, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. All of them, yani they will change. Their ending will change from ضم الكسر الفتة, depending on if they are the مبتدا or the خبر, or the object of a verb, or the object of a preposition. The endings change. Not so with the numbers that are compound numbers, because we said they were مبنيون. So the same examples, but with 13, we're going to see عندي ثلاثة عشر ريالا. I have 13 riyals. We see that even though ثلاثة here in ثلاثة عشر, it is the مبتدا, but it's مبنيون, so we don't see it changing to ضمة. أريد ثلاثة عشر ريالا. I want 13 riyals. Here we might imagine that thalatha, because it's the object of the verb, it's mansub with fatha, but we will notice in all other cases that it always remains fatha. So it's not because it's the object of the verb, it's because it's mabniun on fatha. As we see in the next example, هذا القلم بي ثلاثتا. Even though it's the object of the preposition بي, it didn't take kasra because it's mabniun على fatha. هذا القلم بي ثلاثتا عشر ريالا. This pen costs 13 riyals. So we see here, yani in the first case, thalathata ashara, yani thalathata ashara is, yani it is the mubtada fi mahalli raf, but it doesn't change to dhamma. Uridu thalathata ashara, yani in this case it's fi mahalli nas, and bi thalathata ashara, in this case it's the object of the preposition bi. But in every case it's remaining on fatha. This is a proof that it's mabniun. Okay, let's go to the footnote here. These numbers are mabniun, indeclinable, except the number 12. The words ithna and ithnata. Ithna is the masculine form of 2 in the number 12, and ithnata is the feminine form. Ithna, ashara, and ithnata, ashrata. These two, the first part, ithna and ithnata, are mu'rab, declinable. They are declinable. In genitive and accusative cases, yani when they are majrur or mansub, they become ithna becomes ithnay, and ithnata becomes ithnatay. Okay, so these are not mabniyun, they are mu'rab. That means the endings change depending on whether they are marfu'un or mansub or majrur. So we say, yani ithna, or we say, yani ithnay, when it's, yani mansub or majrur. Ithnata, we say ithnatay when it's mansub or majrur. In the genitive and accusative case, they become ithnay and ithnatay. They give us examples. I have 12 riyals. Indi ithna ashara riyalan. Here, yani ithna, from the number 12, ithna ashara, is the mubtada. It's marfu'un. The sign that is marfu'un is the alif. Ithna ashara riyalan. In the next example, I want 12 riyals. Uridu ithnay ashara riyalan. Here, ithna from the number 12, ithnay ashara. Ithnay is the object of the verb, yani maf'ulun bi, therefore it's mansub, and the sign that it's mansub is ya. And the last example, this book costs 12 riyals. Hadha al-kitabu bi ithnay ashara riyalan. Yani here, ithnay from the number ithnay ashara is the object of the preposition bi, so it changed from ithna to ithnay, yani showing that it is majrur, bi ithnay ashara riyalan. So the point we want to say is that the number 12, the first part of the number 12, ithna or ithnata, is mu'rab. It's declinable. It's not mabniyun, indeclinable. It's mu'rab. So its ending can change from ithna when it's marfu'un to ithnay when it is mansub or majrur. Please pay attention to this particular point. When we turn to page 11, we see, note that both ithna and ithnata, from the number 12, masculine and feminine form. Both ithna and ithnata commence with hamzatul wasl. Yani the first letter is hamzatul wasl, this kasra representing hamzatul wasl. And it is omitted in pronunciation when preceded by a word. So the kasra of ithna and ithnata, or ithna and ithnata, the kasra is hamzatul wasl, is the vowel of hamzatul wasl, which is only used for connecting. But if there's something before it, if there's a word or particle before it, the kasra is not going to be pronounced. It's not going to be pronounced. So in that case, yani, for example, the first example, indi, ithna, yani if you join these words together, you're going to say indithna, not indi. If you stop, you can say indi, ithna. But if you join them together, you have to say indithna. Uridu ithnay, you're going to say, if you join them together, uriduthnay, not uridu ithnay. You don't say uridu ithnay, you say uriduthnay if you join them together. And the same thing, yani hadha al-kitab bi ithnay ashara, yani when you join them together, you should pronounce them together, bithnay, not bi ithnay. Yani we're saying bi ithnay, yani because we want you to hear yani the difference in each word, but otherwise if we join them together, then the kasra of ithna or ithne and ithnata and ithnate, that kasra is omitted in pronunciation when it's preceded by a word. Okay, that's the 3 points that we want to say. Yani the first point in reference to 11 and 12, the second point in reference to 13 and 19, the third point in reference to them all, that they are mabniyun except the first part of the number 12, ithna and ithnata, feminine form, and you become ithne and ithnate when they are mansub or majrur. The last point related to these numbers is the number 20. The number 20 is ishroon. It has the same form for both masculine and feminine ma'adud. It has the same form for both masculine and feminine ma'adud. It doesn't care about the ma'adud is masculine and feminine, it's in agreement with or differing. It remains in one form. The ma'adud, and the ma'adud for the number 20 is always going to be, just like the numbers from 11 to 19, it's going to be singular mansub. It's going to be mufrad and mansub, just like the numbers, the ma'adud for 11 through 19. So you say ishruna talibatan with a feminine ma'adud, and you say ishruna taliban with a masculine ma'adud. No change, just like we said previously with mia and alf. Yani, that mia and alf remain the same form, no matter if the ma'adud is masculine or feminine, we say the same thing for ishroon. We will learn the numbers 30 through 90 in lesson 23, inshallah. And we will learn there, at that in that lesson, the other cases for these numbers as well. Meaning, when they are mansub and majroor. The fifth point of this lesson is the ordinal numbers. The word for first, yani the ordinal numbers means the numbers that show the order of something. The first, the second, the third, the fourth. Like ad-dars al-awwal, ad-dars al-thani, ad-dars al-thalith. These are ordinal numbers. In Arabic they're called yani tartibi, yani to show the tartib, the order of something. The word for first is awwalu. Awwalu. That one stands by itself. The ordinal numbers from 2 to 10, yani the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, and tenth, are formed on the pattern of fa'ilun. Fa'ilun. Yani the first radical takes fatha alif, second radical takes kasra. So from thalatha you have thalithun. Third. From arba'a you have rabi'un. Yani ra, ba, and ayn are the radicals on the pattern of fa'ilun, rabi'un. From khamsa you have kha, mim, and sin, khamisun, and so on like this. The irregularity here is in the number sitta. Yani for this one they use the pattern, but the letters that they use instead of sin, ta, they use sin, del, sin. But it's still the pattern of sadisun for 6, sabi'un for 7, thaminun for 8, tasi'un from tisa for 9, and ashirun from ashira for 10. Okay? Also, another irregularity is in the number 2, thanin. Second is thanin, which is originally thaniyun. But it's an ism mankus. So, when it has alif lam, you see the ya. If it doesn't have alif lam, it loses its ya. And it becomes, yani instead of thaniyun, it becomes thanin. like Ghalin and Wadin and Qadin, like we saw in lesson 1. With Alif Lam, the Ya comes back, Thanin becomes Athani. Okay, so the ordinal numbers, except for the number 1, are the pattern of Fa'ilun. Yani Thalithun, Rabi'un, Khamisun, Sadisun, and so on like this. Point number 6, the expression Alaysa Kadhalika. It means, isn't it so? Is it not so? If a student is asked, Anta Talibun, you are a student, Alaysa Kadhalika, isn't it so? Or is it not so? The answer will be, you will not say Na'am, but rather you will say Bala. If you want to affirm, you are a student, Alaysa Kadhalik, you want to affirm that you are a student, you say Bala, yes, I am a student. But if you are not a student, then you can say Na'am. You will say Na'am, I am not a student. Yes, that is so, I am not a student. Anta Taliban, Alaysa Kadhalik, you are a student. Is that not so? If you are not a student, you will say Na'am. Yani, that's correct, I am not a student. But if you are a student, you don't say Na'am, you have to say Bala. Yani, we will learn more about this in lesson 4. In the next lesson, inshallah, we'll talk about it in detail. The 7th point is Ayyuhuma. Yani, Ayyu means which. Huma is the dual pronoun for two. Ayyuhuma. Which of the two? Which of the two? For example, Fil Fasli Talibani min Faransa. In the classroom are two students from France. Ayyuhuma. Which of the two of them is your brother? Ayyuhuma akhuka. So ayyuhuma is just a word, it means which of the two of them. Which of the two of them? Yani ayyu means which, huma means is the dual pronoun for third person, two of them. Number 8, the two broken plural forms that we had in book 1, mafa'il and mafa'il, like fanadiq and fanajin, or like masajid and manadil. These two broken plural forms, mafa'il and mafa'il, are known as or called muntaha al-jumu'. We're going to learn about this in detail in level 3. Okay, as far as the vocabulary, quickly, yani we have mahja'un with ayn. Mahja'un means a hostel or a dormitory. Kawkabun means a star or a planet. Fariqun with qaf means a team, group of people who are working together. Shaqiqun means a brother, full brother, yani from the same father and mother. If it was a half brother, you would say akhun lil ab, a brother, yani that's from my father. Or akhun lil a brother that's from my mother, yani from my mother's side. That's a half brother. Brother from my mother's side, but not from my father's side. Or brother from my father's side, akhun lil ab, yani not from my mother's side. But a full brother is shaqiqun. We have the same mother and father. Fil manami, in, yani one's naum, in sleep, yani in a dream. Yani I saw something, fil manami, in a dream. Nafidhatun, window, it's plural. Nawafidhu, yani mafa'il, that's the wazn of mafa'il, it's mamnu' min as-sarf. That's why the plural doesn't have tanween. Sinnun, with shadda on the noon, means age, or a tooth in your mouth, asnan. Shahrun means a month of the year. La'ibun, on the pattern of fa'ilun, from la'iba, to play, means a player. Wasi'un means spacious, large or vast. Shahirun means famous, like mashhur. Thamanun means the price of something. And kasla is the feminine form of kaslan. Okay, in the few minutes remaining, inshallah, we're going to look at the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson on page 18. And we're going to close with that, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Primarily, we want to look at any new vocabulary words, and we also want to look at the grammatical points that are in this lesson contained here in this dialogue on page 18 and the top of page 19. At the top of the page, it says, Ad-darsu al-thalithu, the third lesson. By the way, al-thalithu is from the ordinal numbers, the tartibi numbers, on the pattern of fa'ilun, from thalatha. Ahmed says, Kam taliban fi faslikum ya aliyu. How many students are in your classroom, O Ali? Here we want to note the tamyiz of kam, the word that explains what we're asking how many of. That word, the tamyiz, is always going to be singular, mansub, kam taliban. He answers by saying, "Fi faslina arba'ata 'ashara taliban." In our classroom are 14 students. Here the number arba'ata 'ashara. Remember we said from 13 to 19. The first part of the number is opposite the ma'adud. Therefore, taliban is masculine. Arba'ata is a feminine number with ta marbuta. The second part of the number ashara is masculine, like the ma'adud. Ahmed says, "At-tulabu fi faslina aktharu." The students in our classroom are more. Yani aktharu is yani af'alu at-tafdil. Akthar yani akthar means more, from the word kathir. Kaf tha ra on the pattern of af'alu aktharu. The students in our classroom are more. Fihi yani fi faslina fihi 19 taliban. In our classroom are 19 students. Again, the ma'adu taliban is masculine. So the first part, furthest away from it, is going to be opposite in gender. Tis'ata, feminine number. Ashara, masculine number. Ya Aliyu, masmu at-talibi. Masmu at-talibi al-jadidi. Alladhi ja'a amsi. What is the name of the new student? Alladhi. This the ism mawsool, relative pronoun. What is the name of the new student? Who came yesterday? Yesterday. Please note that MC is a mafoolun fihi. Dharf az-zaman, an adverb of time. But it doesn't take fatah because it's mabniyun, fixed on kasra. Ali says, ismuhu usamatu. His name is Usama. Ahmed says, huwa tawilun jiddan. He is very tall, jiddan. Alaysa kadhalika? Isn't it so, or is it not so? And it is so. So he answers not with na'am, but he answers with bala. Yani meaning, I affirm, he is very tall. Huwa tawilun jiddan. He is very tall. Walakin hamidan. But, lakin is from akhawatu inna. The word after it, the ism lakin has to be mansub. Lakin hamidan. Mansub atwalu minhu, is taller than him. Here we have atwalu followed by min, that's the comparative form. Atwalu minhu. Innahu atwalu talibin fi faslina. Indeed, he is the tallest student in our classroom. Here we have atwalu not followed by min. That means it's not comparative. It's followed by a noun that is mudaf ilayhi majrur. That means it's superlative. So in the first case, atwalu minhu, this is comparative. He is taller than him. Taller than him. Innahu atwalu talibin. He is the tallest student. Tallest. Superlative form. Fi faslina. Wa man atwalu talibin fi faslikum. Again, this is the superlative form. Wa man atwalu talibin. Without min. That's superlative. And who is the tallest student in your classroom? Ahmed says, atwalu talibin. Again, superlative form. Without min. Atwalu talibin fi faslina. Ibrahim, the tallest student in our classroom is Ibrahim. Ali says, here we're going to see inna from the previous lesson, and from lesson 1. Adaftaruka hadha ya Ahmadu, is this your notebook, O Ahmed? Inna, here's inna. Remember the ism of inna is going to be mansub. Inna khattaka, khatta, yani khatta is the ism inna, mansub with fatta. Inna khattaka, your handwriting is jameelun jiddan, very beautiful. Ma sha Allah, yani it is Allah's will. Ahmed says, shukran ya Aliyu, thank you O Ali. Khatti jameelun, yeah, that's true, my handwriting is beautiful. Wa khattuka ajmalu, and your handwriting is more beautiful. Yani ajmalu from jameel on the pattern of af'alu, yani more beautiful, yani meaning comparative form. Ali says, من هذا الفتاة الذي معك يا أحمد? Who is this young man who is with you, O Ahmed? كأنه أخوك. Here's كأن from أخوات إن. كأنه أخوك. It is as though. It seems as though. It looks like he is your brother. Here the pronoun who is replacing the original sentence, if there was no كأن, huwa akhuka, but here became ka'annahu akhuka. Ahmed says, na'am, huwa akhi, ash-shaqiqu. Yes, he is my brother, my shaqiq brother, my full brother from the same mother and father. Ali says, أَأَكْبَرُ مِنْكَ هُوَ أَمْ أَصْغَرُ. We had this previously, remember, M is used with the Hamza. The two choices, it's when you have a question, interrogative sentence, where you have two choices, and you have to pick one of them. Each choice, one of them has to come after Hamzatul Istifham, the other one has to come after M. The two choices here are Akbaru and Asgaru. أَأَكْبَرُ مِنْكَ هُوَ أَمْ أَصْغَرُ. Is he bigger than you, or older than you, or أَصْغَرُ, younger? Ahmed says, هُوَ أَصْغَرُ مِنِّي. He is smaller than me, or younger than me, yani in comparison, because we have أَصْغَرُ, yani أَفْعَلُ تَفْدِيل followed by مِن. أَصْغَرُ مِنِّي. Ali says, top of page 19, فِي أَيِّ مَحْجَعٍ أَنْتَ يَا أَخِي. In which dormitory or hostel are you, O Ali? Ali answers, أَنَا فِي الْمَحْجَعِ الْخَامِسِ. This is the ordinal number, الْخَامِس, on the pattern of فَاعِل, from خَمْسَة. أَنَا فِي الْمَحْجَعِ الْخَامِسِ. I am in the fifth dormitory. وَهُوَ بَعِيدٌ جِدًّا عَنِ الْمَدْرَسَةِ. And it is بَعِيد, جِدًّا, very far from the school. Ali says, أَنَا فِي الْمَحْجَعِ الثَّامِنِ. You are in the fifth dormitory, I am in the eighth dormitory. وَهُوَ أَبْعَدُ أَبْعَدُ مِنْ مَحْجَعِكُمْ. And it is أَبْعَدُ, from بَعِيد, yani on the pattern of أَفْعَلُ with مِنْ following it, that's comparison. It is further than your dormitory. Ahmed says, أَيُّهُمَا أَحْسَنُ. Which of the two of them? أَيُّ, which? هُمَا is the dual. Which of the two of them is أَحْسَنُ, from حَسَن. Which of the two of them is the best in comparison? Ali says, المحجعو الخامسو, the fifth dormitory, is أحسنو, better. Why? فَإِنَّ غُرَفَهُ, because its rooms are أوسعو, from واسيع, يعني أوسعو, wider. وَنَوَافِذَهُ أَكْبَرُ, and its windows are أكبر, bigger. وَمَرَاحِضَهُ, and its toilets are أنظفُ, from نظيف, cleaner. وَالسُّرُرُ الَّتِي فِيهِ أَجْمَلُ, and the beds which are in it, in that dormitory, are أَجْمَلُ, from جَمِيل, yani more beautiful. Okay, so this lesson, alhamdulillah, yani gives us very important pattern or wazn, yani أَفْعَلُ التَّفْدِيل, used for making comparisons with مِن, or using the superlative form without مِن followed by a noun, that's مُضَافُ إِلَيْهِ مَجْرُور. We also had in this lesson لَكِنَّ and كَأَنَّ from أَخَوَاتُ إِنَّ, and we had the numbers from 11 through 20. 11 and 12 are in agreement with the مَعَدُود in gender. 13 to 19, the first part is opposite, second part is in agreement. And the number 20, it doesn't matter about the مَعَدُود being masculine or feminine. These numbers are also مَبْنِيُون, except the first part of the number 12, إِثْنَى becomes إِثْنَي, and إِثْنَتَى becomes إِثْنَتَي when they are مَجْرُور or مَنْسُوب. Otherwise, they have أَلِف, that's the sign they're مَنْسُوب, يَا when they are مَجْرُور or مَنْسُوب. Then we had also the ordinal numbers, أَلَيْسِ كَذَلِكَ and أَيُّهُمَا. So this is what we cover for today. بِإِذْنِ تَعَالَى, I hope that everyone has benefited from this preview for lesson number 3. And please, yani review tomorrow, بِإِذْنِ تَعَالَى, the first day for homework assignments should be yani reviewing the first lessons that we have taken, just looking over them, yani as much as possible, so that we don't forget what we have learned. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant ease and comfort to each of you in whatever you are faced with in these days, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant ease to us, that He help us and support us and assist us and aid us in doing those things that are pleasing to Him and in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that He recognize, record and reward our good deeds, that He pardon and forgive our shortcomings, and that He keep us firm upon Sirat al-Mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. Ameen.